On today's Film and Whiskey, Brad's back to help me break down Season 4. We're going to be revealing our entire Season 4 schedule of movies, as well as some exciting changes to each week's programming. That's all next on Film and Whiskey. Hey everybody, welcome into the podcast. We are back with another special bonus episode.
Bonus episode.
I am joined in studio by my man, Bradley freaking G. What's up, dude?
Wah, 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 the one and only.
It is good to have you back, man.
Dude, it is good to be back. I have enjoyed my paternity leave from the podcast. It's been quite wonderful, but here we are. We are back for season four.
Yeah, man.
Which is wild to think about, Bob.
I am so excited, Brad. I don't know if we count this as like the first episode of season four or if we're still in like 3.5, but officially season four starts next Monday. And today what we're going to do is we're just going to offer you guys a preview of everything that is, you know, coming down the pike for season four, because it is going to be by far our biggest and our best season ever.
Now, I will have a little bit of a nitpick with you here, Bob. This will not be our biggest season in the sense that it is still 32 episodes.
It is. And we have drastically reduced the number of bonus episodes we're going to do this coming season because we were putting out over 50 episodes a season for the last two seasons. And guys,
Bob, that means we're doing like 18 plus bonus episodes.
Yeah. And it's a lot to edit. We can only do so much. We are only human. I know that we're producing the best podcast on Earth, but we need a little break.
The best damn podcast in the land.
That's right. We need a little break every now and then.
That might be a copyright. I don't know, Bob.
We're going to get a letter from Ohio State tomorrow.
For sure.
So today what we're going to do, we're going to walk through all the movies that we're doing in season four. We're going to do a big reveal of all of our movie lineup. We're going to talk about some of the guest hosts that we have coming on the podcast. It's going to be a good time, so please stick around for that. But before we do, we usually reserve this for the end of the episode, but as we roll into season four, we are going to be sharing so much more on our social media pages, and we want you guys to continue to follow us and like and subscribe to the podcast.
Yeah, we have all sorts of awesome content coming out for you guys, so go ahead, like, subscribe, find us on social medias at Film Whiskey. Or if you want to become a Patreon and really support what we are doing monetarily, you can check us out, patreon.com/filmwhiskey. Once again, that's Patreon, patreon.com/filmwhiskey.
Yeah, we have three different tiers that you can subscribe at, and you get basically bonus episodes and additional content at every single tier. It's as low as $3 a month. It really helps us out, guys. It helps us to buy new whiskeys that we can try on the podcast. It helps us to continue to upgrade our equipment. I mean, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but this podcast sounds a heck of a lot better than it did in season one. And there's a reason for that. We are so, so grateful for the support of our patrons that we have now. We're actually going to release a longer version of this episode with some bonus stuff in it just for our patrons. So if you want to hear that, go to patreon.com/filmwhiskey, consider subscribing. But Brad, we have talked around it enough, dude. I am so excited to do a reveal of all of our movies for season four. So what do you say we walk the people through the season four lineup?
Bob, honestly, the only movie that really matters is the first movie of the season, which would be The Two Towers.
Last season, we kicked things off with The Fellowship of the Ring. We are continuing the Lord of the Rings trend. We're talking about my favorite Lord of the Rings film, The Two Towers. That is going to be our season premiere next Monday.
Do we want to just declare the winner of the bracket now?
I think we should. I think, you know, like Citizen Kane's not in contention this year, so we might as well just say, screw it, it's The Two Towers.
Well, Bob, other than The Two Towers, you know, we have a few probably decent movies on there. You know, they might pale in comparison.
Probably
decent. Let's go month by month and take a look at what movies we have coming out for our beautiful and wonderful listeners.
Yeah, you know what? I think this is actually going to be a really fun way to walk through it, Brad. And maybe what we'll do is for those people who follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, I want to hear which month of the podcast you are most excited for. So we'll reveal our lineup month by month. And, you know, if you like the movies in March best, go to our post and comment that March is the month you're most looking forward to. I honestly, Brad, looking at it, I think every month has some absolute bangers in it. So let's just keep going here. March 1st, we are going to do Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, followed by 1992's absolute classic of a baseball movie, A League of Their Own.
Are you crying?
No.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
A movie I'm really excited for because I have not seen.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a great movie. It's just like an all-time Tom Hanks performance, too.
Then we'll be jumping in March 15th with The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Have you seen that one, Brad?
I actually have not.
Oh, dude.
That's like a massive hole in my cinema filmography that I've seen, and I'm really excited to get into that
one. I cannot wait for us to do that one. That's maybe one of my top 20 films ever. Like, it's just a great movie. I will say, another disclaimer, Brad, you know how when we did, what was it, Amadeus, and
Oh, yeah. We
had to hunt down the theatrical version because they're only releasing the director's cut now. They're doing the same thing with Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, which I really hate because, like, I like the director's cut, but the theatrical version of that movie is already like 2 hours and 40 minutes. And when they restored the movie in the early 2000s, they added back in 20 minutes of deleted scenes that had shown in like the premiere that they then cut for the theatrical release. But now the only version you can find, like streaming anywhere, is the director's cut. So I guess I'm going to have to try to find you a theatrical cut because I'm just always very hesitant to introduce you to a movie with the longest possible version of that movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we've never had a bad experience with that.
No, never, ever. But yeah, so we're going to be watching the theatrical cut of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, which I think is one of the best films ever made.
Well, once we get past one of the best films ever made, we're going to jump in on March 22nd with Fargo. It's the 25th anniversary, and that, I would say that perfectly fits the definition of a classic.
Absolutely. 25th anniversary, like you said, Frances McDormand wins the Oscar, and I think it's going to actually line up pretty well because she's going to be nominated for an Oscar for Nomadland, the movie that she did this year. So that'll be fun to kind of figure out and parse out as we go. That's only going to be our second Coen Brothers movie after No Country for Old Men. I'm really excited to look at that one, Brad.
Okay. I want you to tell me what these fellas look like.
Well, the little guy, he was kind of funny looking.
In what way?
I don't know, just funny looking.
Can you be any more specific?
I couldn't really say. He wasn't circumcised.
Was he funny looking apart from that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I've never gotten into the Coen Brothers. No Country for Old Men was my first experience with them, and I think I was left a little wanting. So I'm curious to dive deeper into what they've offered.
And then rounding out March, we're going to have five movies in March because of the way the calendar falls. On March 29th, we are going to be looking at the 30th anniversary of the thriller, serial killer hunt masterpiece, The Silence of the Lambs.
A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Bro, first off, spoiler alerts. Second off, you might be doing that episode on your own because I don't know if I'm down with Silence of the Lambs.
Really?
Yeah, dude, that movie looked scary as all get out when I was a kid. I'm not interested.
You know what's really funny is I just rewatched it, I'd say, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago, and I'm not as big of a fan as I thought that I was. And also, I think part of the reason that I'm not as big of a fan as I thought I was is that it has influenced 30 years worth of movies and TV. And the way it plays now is like a slightly more bloody version of any show where they're hunting a serial killer. Like it plays like an episode of Criminal Minds with a bigger budget and better acting. And yeah. So like it's more, I wouldn't call it horror. I think in 91, people were like, this is a horror movie. I think in 2021, it plays more like a police procedural that has like, you know, thriller aspects to it.
Yeah, I mean, they just came out with a TV show, Clarice, which I believe is connected to Silence of the Lambs, correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, so I'm sure that's probably 8 times more bloody and brutal than what came out in the theaters in 1991.
Right. So anyway, all I have to say, Brad, I think you should give it a chance. But, you know, if you want a piece out of that episode, I will respect your decision.
You got it, man. Well, that is the month of March. Honestly, Bob, I'm really excited. It seems like it's going to be a very, very good kickoff to the season.
Absolutely. Why don't you take us into April, though, Brad? Let's see if April can stack up.
Dude, I was going to say, we're starting off April, April 5th, with Schindler's List.
Yeah.
Which, that is a true masterpiece.
Absolutely. And it's one of those films that I think people kind of shy away from. You know what I mean? Like, it's a very heavy movie. We all understand that. But, like, even just in terms of talking about the filmmaking behind it, it is maybe Spielberg's best work as a director. It's either that or Saving Private Ryan for me. The handheld camera work, the black and white cinematography. It's just, I'm so excited to talk about that film. We're going to be doing that in conjunction with International Holocaust Remembrance Day. And we're also doing it kicking off a series of Best Picture winners. So this year, they're not doing the Oscars until April because of everything kind of got delayed with the coronavirus. And so as the Oscars kind of ramp up, we're going to be looking at movies that won Best Picture throughout the month of April. And that's how we're going to kick it off.
Well, and that takes us off to our next movie, the 12th of April, and that is All About Eve.
Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
Yeah, man. Listen, this one and the one that comes after this might be the two episodes I'm most looking forward to this season, Brad. All About Eve is one of those movies that if you've seen it, you know. It is just such a fun movie about women backstabbing each other. It's just catty and like vicious. And it's so fun to watch these people behave badly. It's all about actresses on Broadway who are, you know, trying to keep their careers going and how they basically manipulate everybody around them to get back at each other. It's a really, really great movie. One of the best screenplays ever written.
And we just want everyone to know the official position of the Film and Whiskey podcast is not that women are manipulative and backstabbing. Just
these ones
making
are,
it clear.
These
are the only women.
Yes. Thank you for that disclaimer, Brad. I think
I'm just making sure we're very clear.
So we're going to follow up that 1950 Best Picture winner with the Best Picture winner from the year 1960, which is Billy Wilder's The Apartment. Now, this is a movie that, again, if you know, you know. It might not be Billy Wilder's most famous movie, okay? Like, it's not Sunset Boulevard. It's not Double Indemnity. It's not Some Like It Hot. I think it's Billy Wilder's best movie ever. Brad, this is a top 10 movie of all time for me. I think this movie is absolutely perfect, and I will defend it to the death. And, you know, based on our track record of Billy Wilder movies, I'm really excited for you to see this one.
Yeah, I've been highly impressed with everything I've seen from him so far, so let's get into it. However, the next week, I've literally never heard of the film for the upcoming week, Bob. Can you pronounce it for me? I think it's Titanic?
I think that's right. Sounds like a Slovakian kind of thing.
Yeah. Is it? Are we jumping into like foreign films from Eastern Europe?
Yeah, so this movie was really small budget. 1997, it was directed by this guy, James Cameron. They had these two relatively unknown young stars, Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet. So we're looking at the best picture winner from 1997, maybe the biggest film of all time, Titanic. Brad, I don't know how you feel about Titanic. I have always felt like Titanic got a bad rap. It's one of the best movies I've ever seen. You know what I mean? Like, you sit down in the theater with a bucket of popcorn and there's something in that movie for everybody. It's just a freaking great spectacle of a film.
Bob, I'm going to reveal two secrets of my life to you right now. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I'm not a huge movie popcorn guy.
Oh, interesting.
Like,
okay.
It just dries you out and it makes you really thirsty.
Sure.
And then you drink a bunch of water and then you have to leave the 3-hour epic Titanic movie that you're trying to watch to go pee. And
I've
never been a big fan.
I get that.
I've also never seen Titanic all the way through.
Wow.
I've seen bits and pieces.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Man.
So.
Dude, you know what's funny? Like, I know that the whole like premise of our show is Brad has not seen a lot of classic movies, but I'm still surprised sometimes by which ones you have and have not seen. And Titanic was one that I guess I just figured you would have seen that movie by now.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was one of those movies that like, it came out when I was 7 or 8 years old and I wasn't allowed to watch it.
Yeah.
And then I got into my teenage years and I still wasn't allowed to watch it. And then I got into college after college and, you know, it might have been on in a friend's dorm room and I watched like bits and pieces, but I've never actually seen the entire movie.
All right, Brad, that's going to round out our month of April. So once again, absolute bangers in the month of April. And that takes us into May. And May is really going to be contending for the title here, because not only are we wrapping up our Best Picture series, we're also launching a series of films from the 1970s, which is widely regarded as maybe the best decade ever for film. And we're starting it off with a movie that checks both boxes, the Best Picture winner from the year 1972, maybe the greatest film ever made, The Godfather.
Fredo, you're my older brother, and I love you. But don't ever take sides with anyone against the family again. Ever.
Bob, I have a third secret for
you.
Oh
my gosh, Brad. Come on, dude.
I have seen
The Godfather. Yay. Oh, all right. Well, that one's going
to
be...
Man, you're just too easy to mess with, my dude.
Well, listen, I just... nothing surprises me anymore is what I'm saying.
Actually, I saw this with a good friend of the show, Mike Giles. He and I watched it together, yeah.
Great movie. Cannot wait to talk about that. I mean, what else do you need to say?
Yeah, it's The Godfather.
It's The Godfather.
Of all movies.
Well, we're going to jump off from that one into like our first real comedy of this season. You know, A League of Their Own's kind of a comedy, but there's some dramatic elements there. We are just going straight farce here with the 1975 film Monty Python and the Holy Grail on May 10th.
Now stand aside, worthy adversary.
'Tis but a scratch.
A scratch? Your arm's off.
No, it isn't.
Well, what's that then?
I've heard worse.
You liar.
Come on, you pansy.
Bob, I think that episode is just going to be us quoting Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Absolutely, dude.
I literally just talked about this with a friend of the show, Jordan McCain, earlier, and he said that he doesn't actually enjoy watching Monty Python and the Holy Grail as nearly as much as he enjoys quoting it.
I feel like I'm the same way. And I also feel that way about The Princess Bride. Like, I know The Princess Bride is one of everyone's favorite movies ever. I like it, but I think it's more fun to quote the movie than it is to actually sit down and watch the movie.
I would feel that way about Princess Bride. I don't feel that way about The Holy Grail. I could sit down and watch that movie at any point of any day.
Do you know what I'm most looking forward to about The Holy Grail, though, is having a 90-minute movie?
Yes.
Because, like, the first couple months of this season are just stacked with, like, three-hour epics.
Bro. I was thinking that. I was like, oh my gosh, dude, we have some long movies coming
yeah,
our way.
For sure.
Yeah, and that brings us into our next week. We will be looking at 1973's The Sting, a movie which I don't know if I've ever heard of.
Yeah, Brad, I think you're going to like that one a lot. It's a fun movie. It's one of those movies that, like, you look back on and you're kind of surprised it won Best Picture, because while it's super well made and I think it's a great movie, it just doesn't seem like that kind of, you know, dramatic, weighty film that the Oscars likes to reward. It's Paul Newman and Robert Redford as two con men trying to pull off a really big heist. It's super fun. It's set in like the 1920s or 30s. So you've got that kind of old timey vibe to it as well. I really think you'll like that one. It's just a crowd pleaser.
I'll tell you what, man, Newman and Redford, I'm in.
Absolutely. And, you know, they're just coming off of doing Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid in 1969. This movie even tops that one, I think, in terms of just sheer enjoyment.
And honestly, the premise of the movie, it kind of brings up a question that we might do as a Patreon bonus episode at some point. Do you think that once we get a certain chronological distance from eras, that it's harder to make movies about them? Because I feel like you get movies about a decade, like 2 to 3 decades afterwards. So like The Great Escape comes out in what, the 60s, I believe?
Mm-hmm. 63, I think.
You know, and it's about something that happened about 20 years before.
Yeah.
You know, World War II is an easy one because there's so much history on it. But like, if you made a movie about the 50s right now, would it have a chance as being as accurate as it would in the 60s or 70s, just because everybody making films lived during the 50s in
you
that
know,
time?
I've wondered about that a lot because, you know, like in the 1970s, there were a lot of movies being made about the 50s. And that's only a 20-year age gap. And yet it seemed like people were really okay with being nostalgic for the 50s already. Whereas now, the funny thing is, like, with the technological advancements that we've had in the last 20 years, the world is a much different place from 2000 to 2020, you know, than it was from 1950 to 1970. And I think the really funny thing about that is, like, we're less receptive to being nostalgic, though. Like, it doesn't seem like we should be making period pieces about the year 2000. It doesn't seem long enough ago. But, like, it's more different than it was, you know, in the 70s when they were making movies about the 50s. Like, I think about movies like Grease, movies like American Graffiti, that they were basically just talking about something that had happened, you know, 15 years before.
Yeah. I mean, it's a weird concept. And I think it would make for an interesting episode.
I completely agree.
Let's put that in the box for the future, maybe.
All right. But continuing on our 1970s series, May 24th, we're going to be talking about a movie that I think may be one of the most perfect movies ever made. And that is the Sidney Lumet film Dog Day Afternoon.
He wants to kill me so bad he can taste it.
Oh, God, I was going to kill
him. Erica! 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 Erica!
Al Pacino, maybe his best performance. Like, I think he might be better in this than he is in The Godfather. I cannot wait for us to watch that movie, Brad. I think there's a lot to unpack with that one.
Yeah, honestly, I'm really curious just to go through this month of the 70s, because I've always kind of struggled with films in the 60s and 70s. It feels like a lost era for me. And so I'm just curious to see what they got going on.
Well, we're following that one up with a movie that I'm almost 100% sure that you've never heard of. But it's 1976's film Network.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Also directed by Sidney Lumet. So we're doing back-to-back Sidney Lumet movies. This movie's screenplay is widely regarded as one of the best ever written. It is a dark, dark, dark comedy. Like, it's a satire, and if you don't think it's, like, it can play as a straight drama. You know what I mean? Like, you might not find it funny at all, or you might find it, like, pitch black comedy. But it basically is satirizing the way that, starting in the 1970s, mass media started to take over people's opinions, and how it really kind of corroded the American culture. And I think the farther away we get from this movie, the more and more kind of prophetic it seems. And I think it plays more like reality now than it probably seemed in the 70s. And so, yeah, Brad, I think I would love to hear what you have to say when you watch that movie.
Well, it's a good thing we have a podcast where we talk about the movies we watch, because you'll probably hear what I have to say.
That's very true.
All right, well, that rounds out our month of May, but jumping into the month of June, we start things off with another movie from the 70s, Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, this is going to wrap up our 1970s, and I think in a really fitting way. Like, it's the last big movie of the 70s. It came out in 79. Francis Ford Coppola, there's a ton of backstory there with the making of that movie. I'm excited for that. I think it might be the best Vietnam movie ever made. The thing about the month of June, Brad, is, like, we only have four movies coming out in June, but I think it's our most varied month in terms of the movies we selected, because we're going from Apocalypse Now, making a hard left turn back into the 1940s, and we're looking at the Vincent Minnelli musical Meet Me in St. Louis.
I believe it's pronounced Meet Me in St. Louis.
Yeah. You know what? That's actually a fair point. We can argue that on the episode, because that's how the song goes in the movie.
That's right. But then we jump out after that into, you know, not anything different than Meet Me in St. Louis at all. Malcolm X.
Yeah, we're jumping all the way into 1992 and looking at Spike Lee's epic film.
Oh, I say it again. You've been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked. Bamboozled. Led astray. Run amok. This is what he does.
I watched this movie for the first time, I don't know, like 6 months ago. And it was one of the big blind spots for me in Spike Lee's filmography. It's a 3 hour long movie. I'm like, do I really want to watch this? Finally sat down and watched it. Was absolutely blown away. Completely different style of filmmaking from Do the Right Thing. Like, he's really leaning into his kind of David Lean, Lawrence of Arabia kind of filmmaking background. And this movie fits right in with films like that. You know, Brad, I think growing up, in school, we learned a little bit about Malcolm X, but it always seemed to lean more towards Martin Luther King. And so I ashamedly kind of don't know as much about Malcolm X's life. This movie is an incredibly faithful adaptation of his autobiography and is probably Denzel Washington's best performance of his entire career. I cannot wait to watch this movie with you.
Yeah, I'm really pumped to get into it. Like you said, I was really blown away with Spike Lee and Do the Right Thing. Like, I was just very surprised with how much I enjoyed that movie. And so I'm excited to get into another of his films. I really don't think I've seen much Spike Lee in my lifetime, so it'll be good to jump into it. All right, well, that brings us to the end of the month of June. We are looking at 2000's Almost Famous.
A movie that we were going to do last season, and then we had a huge snafu because the version that Brad found online to watch was the 3-hour director's cut.
And it was so much better than your stupid, you know, regular theatrical cut.
I just remember asking you, like, hey, what'd you think? And you were like, it was good, but did it need to be 3 hours long? And I was like, what are you talking about? And I went and figured out that you watched the director's cut. So we decided to push it off for, you know, almost a full year so that Brad can forget some of that experience, revisit it as the 2-hour movie it's supposed to be, and we can give it a fair assessment.
Yeah, adding an hour onto any movie other not named Lord of the Rings seems like a pretty poor idea.
All right, well, that's wrapping up the month of June, and we are jumping into July with one of my favorite movies ever, maybe the best Western ever made, and that's 1952's High Noon. Brad, have you ever seen High Noon?
I'm so excited for this. Yeah, I have seen High Noon. It's spectacular. It's a great way to kick off. I know that June is kind of part of summer, but like when I think about summer, I think about July.
Mm-hmm.
And so High Noon is just a phenomenal way to kick off that season.
Yeah, definitely. And it's one of those movies too, where again, it's only like, I think an hour and a half long, but because the movie happens in real time, like you feel every minute of the suspense in that movie. I think it's just such a masterfully made film. Cannot wait to talk about it. And once again, we're jumping out of that movie, taking a hard turn into the 2001 Wes Anderson film, The Royal Tenenbaums. Now, Brad, this was a movie that, again, I had not seen until just a few months ago. It was the biggest blind spot for me in Wes Anderson's filmography. The movie that everyone kept telling me, like, if you're not huge into Wes Anderson, you gotta watch Royal Tenenbaums. And I've always respected Wes Anderson's, like, aesthetic choices that he makes and stuff, but I never really found myself really gripped by one of his movies. And then I watched Royal Tenenbaums and immediately was like, we got to put this in the schedule for the podcast. I'm pumped to talk about this movie.
I have never seen a Wes Anderson film.
Oh, well, you're starting off with the one that I personally think is his best one ever.
Well, I'm excited for that because he's one of those filmmakers that everybody's kind of like, oh, yeah, Wes Anderson is the greatest thing ever, or Wes Anderson is the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
So I'm very intrigued to jump in there.
Well, Brad, our next two movies should be pretty easy to introduce because they're basically the same movie.
Yeah, Bob, I am always excited for this. Honestly, after season 5, I don't know what we're going to do. It's going to feel like there's a 2-movie hole in every season after that. And that's because we'll be done with our Harry Potter series.
Yeah, we've been trying to plow through 2 Harry Potter movies a season. And that takes us to, I think, what are we up to now? 5 and 6 in the 8-film series?
We sure are. We're hitting up Order of the Phoenix and the Half-Blood Prince.
Brad, I'm just going to spoil this now. Order of the Phoenix might be my least favorite of all the movies, and Half-Blood Prince might be my favorite of all the movies.
I have grown to appreciate Order of the Phoenix so much more, especially the final battle scene.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to get into it because I do know that the first half of Order of the Phoenix felt very drawn out.
Yep.
So we'll see. I'm excited to get into it. I honestly have not seen that one in a long time, and I think I've only seen Half-Blood Prince maybe once.
All right, so that wraps up our July, and jumping into August, we're in the dog days of summer, and we are jumping into our first animated film of the season, which is the 2008 Pixar film, WALL-E.
On Earth is amazing! These are called farms. Humans will put seeds in the ground, pour water on them, and they grow food like pizza.
I just saw WALL-E for the first time, maybe last fall or late summer.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah,
I am so excited to get into it.
The thing I love about WALL-E is it came at a time when every Pixar movie that was coming out was so wildly different than the one that came before it.
Oh, yeah.
We had Finding Nemo and then The Incredibles. And then I think there was a break after The Incredibles until Ratatouille. And then after Ratatouille was WALL-E. They're completely, and I think Cars was in there somewhere too. The first Cars was in there. So like you look at all those movies, they're so wildly different from each other. And WALL-E is probably the most unique Pixar movie of all of them. You know, the first, 40 minutes are essentially like a silent film. There's barely any dialogue spoken because you're just following around these two robots. So like it's going to be interesting to talk about that one because it is just so vastly different from every other animated movie we've done.
Yeah, it's really on another level, and it's just a fantastic investigation into what if we just didn't have anybody talk for a lot of the movie. and they do it so good because it's freaking Pixar.
Well, speaking of movies where no one talks, Brad, why don't you introduce our next one after WALL-E?
You know, I first saw this movie about a year ago, kind of similar to WALL-E. And I had a less than stellar reaction to it. But, you know, we're watching it for the podcast, and I'm excited for it. It is Les Miserables.
Yeah, we're doing Les Mis for Bastille Day. In solidarity with all of our French listeners, we're going to celebrate Bastille Day with Les Mis. I think we should just sing the entire episode, Brad.
If we didn't get copyrighted super-duper hard, I'd be 100% in.
All right. Well, after Les Mis, we're actually going to do another Pixar movie. Our second animated film is going to be Toy Story 2 on August 16th. Brad, for a long, long time, I would have said this was my favorite Toy Story film. I'm not sure if I'm there now, having watched them all again in the last summer. But I think this movie is pretty much a 10 out of 10 without me even really having to think about it.
You know, it's been a long, long time since I watched it, but I always remember thinking that it was just a little more fleshed out than the first one. I'm just super pumped to get back into the Toy Story universe. Does it seem like we're going to go through a Toy Story a year?
We could. If I'm being honest, I don't know if I ever want to talk about Toy Story 4 ever.
why is that, Bob?
I just hate that movie. It was really well made. And I think objectively speaking, it's like a 7 out of 10, but it just ruined the arc of the first three movies. It completely undid the perfect storytelling arc that they had from Toy Story 1 to 3.
Well, I feel unblemished then because I have not seen Toy Story 4.
Yeah, man, it is the black sheep of the franchise.
Well, that's unfortunate, but you know how that makes me feel, Bob? It makes me feel like there will be blood.
Yes. Oh, perfect segue, Brad. August 23rd, we're looking at the 2007 Paul Thomas Anderson classic, There Will Be Blood.
I drink your milkshake. I drink it up.
Probably going to be the most challenging movie that we watch this season, Brad. It's one of those like big behemoths of a movie that's kind of inaccessible. You know, the protagonist is an unlikable person, and it asks a lot of big questions. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how we kind of parse that one apart. A lot of people love this movie. I've always been a little bit cooler on it, so I'm interested to see where we go with that episode.
Will it be as ridiculously bad as the assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford?
We'll see. We'll find out. But after that, we're actually going to look at another 2007 film. We're going to lighten things up a little bit and look at the comedy Juno, which is a movie that I really, really like. You know, like, I don't know if looking back on that movie, I love it. But I think that it doesn't get enough recognition for doing what it did in 2007. I mean, it got a Best Picture nomination. It won Best Screenplay. I think it's a really, really good movie. And I think it's worth talking about.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Juno. I think I saw it when I was in college at some point. And I think the word that I remember thinking a lot was charming.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it's just a charming film. Like, all of the performances. That'll be a fun one.
All right, that's wrapping up our August. And Brad, we're getting into the last month of our schedule here. So why don't you walk us through September?
Gladiator, Reservoir Dogs, Children of Men, Beauty and the Beast.
Boom. We got four back-to-back bangers here. Gladiator, Best Picture winner from 2000. Reservoir Dogs, Quentin Tarantino's debut movie. We're following that up with my number one film of the 21st century, Alfonso Cuarón's Children of Men. Cannot freaking wait to talk about that movie. And then we're going to lighten things up again with our third animated film of the season, 1991's Disney classic, Beauty and the Beast.
Dude, Beauty and the Beast is hands down my favorite of like the 80s and 90s princess movies from Disney.
It is a perfect film.
It's a perfect film.
Yeah.
Like we were literally playing the opening song to Sadie just the other day.
Yeah.
And I just remember being like, man, why did Disney ever remake this?
Oh my gosh. I couldn't even make it through. I turned it off 45 minutes in. Have you tried watching it?
I've watched the whole thing. There's elements
of the remake. It was excruciating.
There's elements of the remakes that are okay. But overall, it's just like snide and sneering towards everything that made the first one good.
Yeah.
So now I'm with you. It's not good. There was just a few things I was like, oh, yeah, that's kind of cool, I guess.
All right. Well, that is our September. We have one more movie on October 4th, which is The Matrix, to wrap up our season. So, hey, if you're a huge Matrix fan, you can vote for October as your favorite month of the podcast. But that's the only one that we have in October. And that completes our list of the 32 films from season 4. Brad, I'm more excited about this season than I think I've been about any film and whiskey season so far.
Dude, we have an epic list of movies coming up. And I'd have to look through seasons 1, 2, and 3 again. But I think you might be right. There are just some absolute phenomenal movies in here. And heck, I think I've seen probably over half of these. So I'm just considering myself, you know, in the upper echelon of moviegoers.
Absolutely. Listen, man, if you were a baseball player, you'd be batting 500. This would be like the best year ever.
Haley talks all the time. She's like, man, if I only did my job right 30% of the time, I would be fired in a week. Baseball makes her so frustrated.
That's funny. Well, listen, guys, we are doing more than just bringing in new movies for this season. We went back to the drawing board. We've been back in the lab tinkering, and we've figured out that we're going to add a couple segments to each episode just to try to give it some consistency from week to week, just to try to inject some more fun things. So one of the things we've decided to add is based on our bracket challenges where Brad G gives out his awards for the season. And I thought they're so funny, and I love hearing Brad's opinion on those, that we're going to have film and whiskey awards for each week, each movie that we do. We're going to come back from our whiskey break, and Brad's going to give out a made-up award where he says, this movie wins the award for blank.
Most garbage movie that isn't The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford.
It's a very specific award name.
Yes, it is. And some movie this season will get it. Yeah, and then another segment that we're going to have is something that has happened in my life many times. It's the Bob Ruins It section, where Bob takes a portion of my life and ruins it.
Absolutely.
I mean a movie.
You know, something that I love to do is just ruin everything for everybody. No, but, you know, Brad, I think that like every week we do each have nitpicks with the movies that come up. And once in a while, we're like, hey, I noticed this gigantic gaping plot hole and it's never made sense to me. You know, when we did our Back to the Future episode, like all of the problems we had with that film, you know, a film that is regarded as essentially perfectly written. We had people write to us afterwards and they said, you have ruined this movie for me. Like, I can't watch it and like it as much as I did before. And we thought it'd be fun to just have a section where, you know, me and maybe Brad, we nitpick a little bit in a controlled environment, and we're calling it Bob Ruins It.
Yeah, I personally think that Bob's Nits is a better title for this section, but you know.
Yeah, we'll workshop it. We'll see what we come out with.
But not only that, we are going to revamp our Brad Explained section just a little bit. And I think it's going to be in a really fun way. We are going to be throwing a beautiful 60-second timer on the clock, and I will only have 60 seconds to describe the movie that we just saw. This is honestly to prevent, you know, future Gone with the Wind scenarios where I'm talking for 10 minutes about an inanely long movie that I just can't, you know, really sum up in a short amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, like, I have always respected the effort that you give with Brad Explains, because it's hard sometimes to know, should you just give like the one sentence, you know, overview? Or do you have to walk through all the plot developments? And some of the more complicated movies we've done, like Inception, it's like, how do you even explain that in a way that doesn't take 5 minutes? And so we're going to make it fun by putting Brad on a timer and just giving him a hard cutoff after 1 minute. And if it makes even less sense than before, so be it.
You know, I always feel like I'm walking the line between the one sentence that you get on like the IMDb, you know, like right below the movie, And then the 17 synopses.
I think it's synopses.
Me trying to compile the 17 different synopses that, you know, users have written in below it.
Yeah.
Like, I never know how to actually do it.
Yep. I get it, man. You know what I'm super excited for with this season, though, is that we are doing something we've never done before, and that is bringing in a bunch of guest hosts on this season. Like, we've had, you know, we've had some friends of ours, and we've had a couple friend of shows come on. Perry Ritter came on last season. Chris Blattner came on last season. You know, we've had our friend Jen Lowers. We've had Jordan McCain. But overall, we haven't really had a lot of guest hosts on the show. And so what we've been focusing on the last few weeks is really reaching out to other people in the whiskey community, especially people from other bourbon podcasts. And we're inviting them on the show to talk about one of their favorite movies. Brad, why don't we go through our list of guest hosts that we have this season?
Yeah, I'm really, really excited for this. I think it's just going to be such a fun chance to collaborate within the podcast community. So early in the season, we are jumping on with Bourbon and Blondes.
Yeah.
Two gals out of St. Louis that just do phenomenal work on their own show.
Yeah, they're going to join us on March 8th for A League of Their Own. And then later in March, we're actually doing back-to-back guest host episodes. We're going to be joined by Kenny Coleman of the biggest whiskey podcast, at least the biggest bourbon podcast on earth, Bourbon Pursuit. Kenny's going to be joining us on March 22nd to talk about Fargo.
Yeah, and then literally the next week for Silence of the Lambs, we will be joined by Chad and Sarah, who are a part of It's Bourbon Night, which is a phenomenal bourbon podcast because at the end of the day, every night is bourbon night.
That's right. And not only do they have the podcast, they have one of the bigger bourbon-centric YouTube channels out there, too. I mean, I have learned so much just from watching their channel. Can't wait to sit down with them and talk about Silence of the Lambs. And, you know, Brad, if you have to peace out, you know, from being just utterly freaked out by that movie, I'll have two backup hosts there.
Dude, I'll tell you what, man, the previews for that movie, the cover for that movie, everything about it is terrifying. And like the 8-year-old in me still is like, nope.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens there. On April 26th, we're going to be joined by our friend Jackie James. She is one of the biggest whiskey-related influencers on Instagram, over 10,000 followers. She's so much fun to follow on Instagram. She has such a great personality. I cannot wait to get her on the show. We're going to be talking about one of her favorite films, Titanic.
And then moving on into the next, literally the next week, Bob, we have like 4 out of 5 weeks here where we have guest hosts that I'm really excited for. We have one of the most epic, legendary names in not just like podcasting or anything like that, in the whiskey world. We're going to be joined by Peggy No Stevens to talk about one of the greatest movies of all time, The Godfather.
Dude,
she is literally the godfather of the Kentucky bourbon trail.
Yeah, we reached out to Peggy and I was like, hey, do you want to join us again? Here's the list of movies. She's like, well, I'm Italian. I have to talk about The Godfather. I was like, yeah. You talk about whatever you want to talk about, Peggy Nosty. Like, it could be The Godfather episode, and she could come on and talk about Godfather 3. And I'd be like, sure, whatever you want, Peggy.
That's right.
Well, the week after that, we're going to be joined by the guys from Dad's Drinking Bourbon. Again, one of the bigger bourbon podcasts out there. They want to talk about Monty Python and the Holy Grail. I have a feeling that's going to be a really, really fun episode. If you've ever listened to Dad's Drinking Bourbon, those guys like to let loose. And so this should be just a quote fest from beginning to end.
Yeah, it'll be an absolute riot. And literally the next week, we will be talking with friend of show and honestly, dude, one of my favorite persons ever. Chris Blattner will be rejoining the podcast as a guest host for The Sting.
Yeah, which is good because, like you said, Brad, you haven't really heard of that movie before. I love the movie. I'm excited to have Chris come on because it sounds like this is one of his favorite movies. Like, he specifically said, I want to do The Sting. Has anyone else claimed it? So we're having Urban Bourbonist on the show to talk about that great Paul Newman and Robert Redford matchup. And then at the end of June, we're going to be joined again by our friend Perry Ritter from This Is My Bourbon podcast to talk about Almost Famous. To balance out Brad's general meh-ness with that movie from watching the 3-hour cut, we'll have Perry on to offer a little bit of levity and a little bit of support for that movie.
Dude, his enthusiasm is one of the most refreshing things in the world. I'm so excited to have him back on the show.
Me too.
Well, and our final that brings us to our final guest host for the year, which is Jackie Zykan.
Yeah, Jackie just joined me a few weeks ago for, I think, one of the best interviews we've ever had on this show. She is the master taster at Old Forester, one of the most prominent figures in the bourbon industry right now. And we talked about Wes Anderson as her favorite films. And so I said, hey, you know, we're doing Royal Tenenbaums in season 4. And she said, sign me up. So she's going to join us for Royal Tenenbaums. I cannot, once again, like one of the best personalities we've ever had on the show. She's just so lively and so, so knowledgeable about her movies. I can't wait to talk to her about Wes Anderson and the Royal Tenenbaums. All right, Brad, we've gone for like almost 50 minutes here talking about season 4. If you can't tell, we are really, really excited for this season. We have been working our butts off in the lab, trying to get some guest hosts, trying to inject this thing with some more fun segments, really revamping our movie lineup. I think this is going to be our biggest and best season ever.
We have so many cool things coming down the pipeline for you guys. And in the end, though, Bob, I do want to take a second to reflect. Like, we started this podcast, what, 2 years ago now?
Yeah.
And like the goal of the podcast was just to watch some great movies, drink some fun whiskey, and just have a good time. And I think that is at the core of what we're doing. Yep. And that's the reason why you guys keep coming back and listening. It still blows my mind that there's people out there that are like, hey, you know what I'm going to do with my time? I'm going to go listen to Brad and Bob. Like, that just blows my mind.
Yeah, I can't
a little
believe
bit.
It. I can't believe, like, but I can't get my friends and family to listen to me half the time. The fact that, like, strangers are volunteering to hear me ramble about a movie blows my mind.
Yeah. So we just want to say once again, if you've made it to the end of this episode, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You guys are what keep us going. And we're excited to bring this season to you guys. I think that as we go, we're getting better and better. And season 4 is just going to be so much fun.
Yeah. Well, listen, we are going to move into a Patreon exclusive segment for the end of this episode. If you'd like to hear what we have left to say, we're going to reveal all of our whiskeys for season 4. If you'd like to hear that, consider going to our Patreon and subscribing at any level, patreon.com/filmwhiskey. So we're going to move into that segment. We will be back next Monday with our season 4 premiere, The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. So until then, I'm Bob Book.
I'm Brad G.
And we'll see you next time.